Pranesh Matidiso, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Ripila, for having us.
Certainly. The global, or at least the population voter apathy, seems to be something that is experienced around the world. Our youth voter apathy, is it any worse than we see around the rest of the world, even though they seem to be so vocally woke? Pranesh, when you look at the data?
Oh, good morning, Rafael, and good morning to your listeners out there. What we see in South Africa is that the voting trends visible in young people also visible elsewhere in the world. It's very rare that you see young people vote at higher rates than their counterparts of older generations. What is very concerning in South Africa is that youth participation is going in the wrong direction in terms of participation in electoral politics, especially since 2014, the national elections. We've seen a decline in both the registration rates amongst young people and also the actual voting rates amongst those who are registered. What this means is that more young people are falling out of the electoral process altogether. And given that they're the majority voters of the future, there's a strong possibility that our electoral democracy becomes one where very many millions of people are not participating at all.
I mean, Matidiso, when you look at the future that Pranesh is describing, there's so much about the policy that exists today that we talk about being archaic, not keeping up with fourth industrial revolution. We've got ministers of minerals that are saying that climate change is not quite as big a deal as they want. What does that mean for the issues we'll be facing in several years' time if their voices aren't in the room?
Okay, thank you so much, Rufilo, for having me on the show. Yes, young people are not voting, and there are many factors determining their decision not to vote. But I think the most important one that needs to be taken into consideration is the fact that young people are alienated, or they are feeling alienated from the society in view of the opportunities and the high unemployment rates. So young people are actually feeling despondent, and they feel that voting would actually not change anything. For example, we've been in democracy for the last 27 years, but almost half of the adults since 2019 are still also living under the poverty line. And we've also seen high unemployment rates among young people. It has reached a peak of 64% in 2021, and COVID has also made things very worse. So young people are seeing the changes in the country as being stagnant. And they are unlike our older generations who have always participated in voting. And their mandate has definitely changed. Older people were voting because they understood what it took for them to get the democracy. But with young people, they are not seeing the change. And if we can take an example of a young 18-year-old who needs to vote, it's like, how do they make the decision to vote if there's no adequate education? And how do they even understand the party manifestos at their age? So we need to see more education on voting prior to even the elections. People need to, or the political parties need to go out there and actually educate young people on voting.
Let's have a listen to them in their own voice. One of the guests that we had invited and who sort of pulled out, Kelly, is 21 years old. And here's a question. Here's her sense of why she doesn't want to vote.
How do you feel? I'm Kelly Apartless, currently 21 years of age. This year's elections was the second one that I partook in. However, it was a bit disappointing for me. Not many people will go about and do their own research on every single party that is around, and they would rather make the decision based on hearsay from the people that they interact with and from past experiences from the parties that they have that has been in power. The main party spoken about has always been the ANC, the DA, and the AFF. But when you receive the ballot, you have over 20 parties. And from those parties, many of them have little to no information on them that is available to everyone. Like, you need to do a full-on deep dive search for them. So the influx of the parties makes the decision process lengthy, and not to mention many people has complained that it was hard for them to find the party they wanted to vote for. So to better this situation, we need to find a way to either cut down on some of the parties or to have some of them integrate to make him bigger parties. And if any of the parties are elected, there needs to be things more appealing to the unemployed youth, like youth seminars and youth groups that will help them better their skills, offer them career guidance, and many other things that they would need, the keys and the tools that they would need to become working citizens.
So it's hard. That's the message I'm getting.
Right, we come back to our Wednesday panel, joined by Matsidi Sosillo, who is a researcher at the Center for the Social Development in Africa at UJ, and Good Governance Africa's data analyst and researcher, Pranish Desai. We heard quite a detailed bit of feedback there from Kelly, 21-year-old Kelly, basically saying, yeah, it's too much work. That was pretty much what I heard. And then also, there was a little bit of a concern around career guidance and wanting workshops, and that I guess things should be more appealing to the youth. These seem to be two different issues. And Matsidisha, I'd be curious, you know, if it's hard for Kelly, it's hard for anybody else who votes. I'm struggling to see, because at 21, I'm trying to think what I was doing with my life. I'm struggling to see how that absolves specifically the youth. Because it's hard anywhere in the world, and people sometimes vote emotionally. And how can I not vote because I think that everybody else won't research?
Yes, Rifilwe, what Kelly has described here is part of the findings that we found in our studies when we conducted research on voter preference and the reason for party choice a year ago. We found that of those who were eligible to vote, we found about 11% said they would not vote. Of course, this went up as we saw in the elections recently. But of those, we found that more females would not vote compared to the males. And there were other reasons that motivated people into voting. And amongst those were the trust in the party. So we saw these more likely in the older age groups. And we also saw that the youth were voting because they wanted the party to stimulate job creation, or they believed that the party would stimulate job creation as well as service delivery. But we also found that for young people mainly, those who were not convinced that the party was going to increase job opportunities, they were not likely to vote. So it is a real struggle. The struggle of young people is about employment opportunities. It's about ensuring educational opportunities. And if they are not convinced that the parties can deliver on that, so they don't see the reason why they should go out and vote.
Pranish, so Matsidiso makes some interesting points regarding the offering that youngsters think that they have available. But Kelly also made some statements about the construct of the democratic process, wanting to consolidate parties, thinking that it would be a good idea, I suppose, for things to be more visible from an educational perspective. Do you think from the preservation of democracy that those are particularly good ideas from a governance perspective? Should elections be run like an idle sort of voting by SMS or more technologically accessible, method?
I think that Kelly raised some important points about the importance of voter education and parties being more visible, especially not only focused on election season. They need to be helping involve young people along with organizations like the IEC throughout the years, not just every 5 years when there's a local election or every 5 years when there's a national election. Young people who are also less inclined to trust these institutions in the first place will be drawn into the process by feeling more involved on a regular basis. So what that requires is also consistent investment by the country in terms of the budgeting for organizations like the IEC, but also for political parties to be more consistently active. In terms of consolidating political parties, that's certainly happened in South Africa. There's a lot of precedent for this happening. Whether it will actually result in young people turning up to vote at higher rates, I don't think that would be the main reason as to why they'd actually turn up. I don't think the issue, while it might be the issue in the case of Kelly, I don't think it's necessarily the issue in the case of most young people that the reason why they don't vote is because there's a lot of options available.
One other option also that exists, I mean, these are very specific perspectives, but one of the other options that exists that I was thinking out loud about when we were considering this panel last week is there something about the way that the world is moving, globalization, you know, people are youngsters more supranational, as in they're borderless. They are able to opt out of caring about my national government because I'm in the Insta and I'm in the TikTok and I could go overseas, or, you know, the overlords of, or the, I suppose the hegemony now is giant billionaire tech companies as opposed to governments in terms of power. And I mentioned this just because there was another mention from a listener, a youth who declined to come on air. She's 19 years old, and described as rich kid. She said her life is perfect. She sees no need to vote and doesn't care for the politics in the country, unfazed. The second, another one was a 23-year-old from the Cape Flats. He said, it's easy to say, have hope, vote, it will make a difference. He asked, what difference would it make to him? Both his parents lost their jobs in the pandemic. His mom now does odd jobs, and he himself is studying to be a casual worker. So whether or not you're trapped in the country, like the government doesn't actually play a role in your life, or you are so wealthy that you can actually exclude the government from your decision-making. Would you say that that's a fair assessment, Matsidiso?
This goes down to having education around voting. So as I've mentioned, the youth does not understand the role that they play in the voting system. It's simply because they're not educated enough about it. And their lack of interest is motivated by the fact that we don't see political parties throughout. We only see them when it's close to the election time and they're hyping the voting. So it does not motivate the young people to vote because of that. So unlike older people, they understand the context around voting. They understand their significance. It's like they have a ground of why they should vote because they understand the history around it. But that does not apply to young people. They see the country as being stagnant. It doesn't offer them anything. They do not see the reason for them to go out because they've lost jobs, particularly now during the pandemic. So why should they be going out to vote if it's not going to improve on anything in their lives?
Yeah, Matsidiso, so again, you're still giving me a very localized perspective. I'm trying to get a sense of the more global trend that Pranesh was talking about, that this is pretty much visible around the world. And I'm trying to ask about this age group, because 19 and 23, those aren't children. I don't know what precludes them from doing their own research, and they would certainly do their own research if it was about ASAP Rocky's new album. So let's have a listen to this voice note that's come through from somebody, a young person.
Hi, Rifulwe. I fall into the bracket of people who are young and didn't vote, whatever your definition of young might be. I think the issue is we've lost faith in the democratic system, not in the voting system and wanting to do research and you helping us with knowing these parties and all that. It's literally, the democratic system is not working. We're just voting for the same people, not willing to let go of the same positions, not going to jail when they have to, when they've stolen our money. Why should we continue to participate in this system if it's not working? Obviously, it's not working. The writing's against the wall that it's not working. So why participate in it?
Again, so Pranesh, I think that's a comment that I could have heard coming from Kentucky in the United States as well, right?
Yeah, so there's undeniably been an increasing trend across the world, particularly in sort of Western and Western style democracies, in which I would classify South Africa as being somewhat that, given its sort of constitutional, the sort of societies we based our constitutional setup on. This increasing cynicism is quite worrying around the world, and especially in South Africa, precisely because it shows less faith that people have, as the voice note indicated, in the democratic process. This is a process that's meant to encourage and facilitate things like accountability and ordinary people having a say in the policies and the people who will lead them. But if people aren't believing in that process itself, then that's quite worrying in terms of, firstly, whether they'll actually participate in the moment, and clearly they're not doing so at the rate they have in previous years. But beyond that, also in terms of whether they'll try to seek alternatives to that system. And those alternatives can often lead to greater authoritarianism within the system. And that's, I don't think, something that South Africans would want or should want, given our own history with authoritarian systems.
And then let me maybe just round off here, just asking, because I don't know if apathy is the right characterization. I can see disillusionment, but the youth are still very much active in terms of protest. They're still very active in terms of whether it's online protest, physical protest. So they are still using the tools of democracy. And let me let this final voice note through, and maybe they'll give us an answer here, Pranesh and Matidiso.
Okay.
Good morning, Rafilwe. I'm just picking up the end of your panel discussion and about the youth voting. I was wondering, surely, that if we could get some type of online voting, most 95% of youths have a mobile phone, and I mean, with facial recognition and with fingerprint recognition, surely there's a way of having a secure way that a person can vote. I think a lot of youths just don't want to go and stand in a queue for 2-3 hours. They'd rather take the Monday off and go away for the weekend. So yeah, that's just my thoughts. Maybe I'm a bit narrow-minded, but I really think that's a massive step to get more people voting. Thank you. It's Andrew in Somerset West. Cheers.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll leave it to you, the two of you. Pranesh, please go ahead with maybe some final thoughts, having heard that maybe there's some hope if we could just move at the times.
I think that it's certainly something that needs to be considered, especially in terms of registering people to vote, whether that could be done online in any way. But there are big problems in a country like South Africa with regards to things like accessibility. Can everyone actually access this resource if it's shifted online in some way or majorly shifted online? But it's certainly something that organizations and the government need to consider. But that also needs, once again, highlights the point that these organizations like the IEC, which run voter education campaigns, need to be properly funded.
Matidiso?
Yes, I also echo the same sentiments that the IEC needs to take an active role in educating young people about voting, because it's not enough for us to have all these technologies, but people need to also take an initiative to go out and vote. So if people are not educated, which is the root cause about the voting, they may not even register if we also provide the online platforms. So they need to have more education on voting and make people understand the importance of voting. Then even when we move to the online platform, then people would be more willing to come to the party and vote.
Thank you both. A multi-pronged approach is definitely necessary. Matidiso Sillo is researcher at the Center for Social Development in Africa at University of Johannesburg, and Pranesh Desai, data analyst and researcher at Good Governance Africa.